Consider God's Son. We have considered tonight the great things God has done for us to draw closer to Him in obedience. We have considered nature to see the lessons of God's care for us. And in doing this, we learn to love Him more. It would be helpful, though, for us to take a moment to consider His Son and what He's done for us. Turn with me to Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3. Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So God acknowledges the fact that there will be times when we will grow weary in our service for him, to where we might feel like we want to quit and maybe submit ourselves to the devil's temptations. But he also gives us an example. He gives us the perfect example, which is Christ, Jesus Christ. He is our example in love, in life, and service to God and others. He is also our example in bearing up under the burdens and stresses of living in a wicked world among sinful people. He is a beacon of light that encourages us to resist the constant temptation of this world. So Jesus, his example shows that we need to get rid of all the sinful distractions. In Hebrews 12, verse 1, it says, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. And Jesus said to Peter, get behind me, Satan, you are a stumbling block to me. For you are not setting your mind on God's interest, but man's. And that's Matthew 16, verse 23. Jesus was quick to get those things away from him, the sin away from him, that could have caused him to stumble. He took no chances of temptation, and that's what we should do. And Paul spoke to Timothy about the love of money and said, but flee from these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. What Paul is telling Timothy here is to not let money be a distraction. Like many things, money can be a distraction. The same could be said for anything, though, that would distract us from serving with God. No matter what it is, no matter what's distracting us, is it really worth our salvation? We need to run with endurance also. Jesus displays this. Hebrews 12, verse 1 also says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And Paul used this analogy with the Corinthian church. Paul wrote letters to encourage the Corinthian church and warn them of the endurance that they'd need to stay right with God. 1 Corinthians, if you turn with me, 1 Corinthians 9, verses 23 through 27. 23 through 27, it reads, I do all things for the sake of the gospel, so that I may become a fellow partaker of it. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim, but I fight in such a way as not beating the air. But I discipline my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. There is a measure of discipline and control that must be applied as we run our earthly race. It's God's words that light the path that we race. and keeps us on the path of life. Psalms 119, verses 105 reads, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." We must make sure that we are following it to our imperishable reward and push onward, keeping an eternity with Him in our minds, because that's what it's all about, an eternity with God. So look forward to the prize. In Hebrews 12, verses 2, if you'd turn there with me, please. It reads, "Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Jesus did that. He despised the shame as he did it, but he did it for us, giving us a chance. The remembrance that Jesus died for us alone, that should be a reminder not to lose faith. As Christ was looking forward to the joy of heaven as he endured the cross, we also can look forward to the joy that lies before us, which is eternal life. Jesus said he will prepare it for us in John 14, verses 1 through 3, if you would turn there with me also. John 14, verses 1 through 3. It reads, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it is where not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And in 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 5, turn there with me also. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." Paul said he would soon be going to his reward and that others would come also. And final verse I'd like you to turn to with me is 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. It says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." So in conclusion tonight, we have seen that God is great, and he has done many marvelous things just for us in our salvation. That God is love and shows that in his care for us. We have also considered his Son as our example in living through this pilgrimage on earth, and that he prepared a place just for us. So we must get rid of distraction, have endurance, and fight through the sin in our lives. And finally, know the eternal salvation with God and keep that in mind as a reminder for us to keep pushing. And one last thing to consider is your life. James 4, verse 14 says, "You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away." Ask yourself, are you prepared to go to your reward? For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad, which is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Mark 16, verse 16. Have you repented of the sin in your life Acts chapter 2, verses 38. Have you confessed that Jesus is the Lord? Acts 8, chapter 37. And have you been baptized into the body of Christ? Romans 6, verses 4. If you have said no and would like to change that, come now as we stand and sing.